now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year. Hello and welcome to the second edition of The Games, your essential daily London 2012 update from The Times. I'm Chris Skinner, and on today's programme, I'll be talking to photographers Alison Palmer and Olivia Munn, our man running operations for The Times in the Olympic Park, Jeremy Griffin, and Matt Dickinson, who will watch Team GB's women's football team kick off later today. We're asking you to be a part of the programme by tweeting your thoughts on the games using the hashtag MyOlympics. We've had some great messages so far, including this one from DavePayne164, who says, I can't wait. This is the single most exciting sporting event in the UK in my lifetime, and I get to take my daughter. If you agree or disagree, send us a tweet using the hashtag MyOlympics. And we'll have more of those later. I'm joined now by the man running the Times Olympic coverage from the Olympic Park. It's Jeremy Griffin. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris. Nice to be here. How are you?
Yeah, excellent. You sent me a really interesting email earlier on alluding to the fact that you think London can offer more than Beijing. So I'd like you to start by elaborating on what you meant there.
Well, I was at Beijing 4 years ago, and it was an absolutely fantastic Olympics, and it was my first Olympic Games, so it will always hold very special memories for me, needless to say. But I am really impressed by what I've seen so far from London, and not just the organisation that is evident from within the park, building up to the opening ceremony on Friday, but just it's something more ephemeral than that, really. The way the whole place has been designed, the Olympic Village itself is, I think, you know, architecturally fantastic, and offers so much more than the Olympic Village in Beijing did. I mean, it just to put it bluntly, that village was purpose-built. It was a sort of great Brogdonian sort of architectural eyesore, really. And this one has been built to, you know, enhance what nature offers, really, in this part of the world, because, of course, we are in and around the Lee Valley. There are some important sort of nature hotspots, if you like, and I think the designers attempted to enhance those when they put this place together. And if you think that sounds sort of a little bit insignificant in the context of the Olympics, I would disagree, because a lot of people who come to the Olympic Games are going to be spending a limited amount of time watching sport and a lot of time soaking up the atmosphere and walking around the park and just trying to get a feel for what the Olympics is about. And that will make a huge amount of difference to me. It's just really impressive to see how they've harmonised what clearly is a purpose-built village with the natural surroundings around them.
It must help being there on a day where it's 30 degrees as opposed to any time in the previous month as well. I'm sure everything looks beautiful in this weather.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was very hot in Beijing as well. Unfortunately, they're not having such great weather at all. It's terrible over there at the moment. But you're right. When the sun comes out, everyone's happy. Or at least you'd think that. I was on the media bus earlier on coming over from Stratford International, which is where which is one end of the route, if you like, one of the main entry points. And there was an Italian journalist sitting just along from me who was complaining about the fact that it was so hot over here. Now, I guarantee you, had he been here 2 or 3 weeks ago, he would have been complaining about a different aspect of the weather.
Yeah, you can't win. Now, tonight, I understand there will be a final dress rehearsal for the opening ceremony. I know there was another one earlier in the week. Have you seen any stray sheep around at all?
No, I've not seen anything of a woolly nature so far, other than a few stories from other papers, I have to say. We do know a bit about what's going to be in the opening ceremony. I think morally, if not duty bound, not to give anything away, because it's a big event that a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort into, and I think it's supposed to be a party that everyone can enjoy. And it's a bit like, I feel like if I was to say too much, I would be chastised by the spoiler police. We have found out there was a dress rehearsal a day or two ago as well. A couple of our reporters were hanging around. They weren't invited in, unfortunately, but they caught a few people coming out and found out a bit about what was going on. And that's helped us to prepare for what we expect to see. But it's going to be a great cast list. A few furry animals, as you say, as well. Some great references to British culture as well. I mean, the sort of things I'm sure you listeners will have heard these phrases bandied about before, but by the sound of things, it's going to live up to the hype.
I'm now joined by Matt Dickinson, chief sports correspondent here at The Times. Matt, why is the world's most popular sport the least popular at the Olympics?
That is a very good question. The simple answer is because it shouldn't be here. We get so much football, we get so much great football, Club Champions League, a fantastic Euros. I just don't think there's a great appetite to see it at the Olympics, and which is, you know, in the men's case, the competition is entirely compromised by stupid rules about under 23s and three over age players. I mean, it's not exactly fastest man on the planet, is it? And it, you know, to be fair to the women, it's a proper competition. Most of the good teams are here, but you know, particularly in England, where we say we're a football nation, but I think people are almost looking for a breather.
And there are several games today, aren't there? There's Team GB against New Zealand at the Millennium Stadium. Are we going to get decent crowds for this and the other games that we're seeing across the country?
Well, I think they've been sort of, you know, they've closed down part of the stadium. We know that. So it's not going to be anywhere near sold out. But I think it's going to be respectable in the end. I mean, there was, you know, some fears early on that there'd be sort of, you know, 10,000 people there. We'll get a lot more than that. I think it'll be fine. But there is an argument. And, I've heard it from Kelly Smith recently. I interviewed her where she said, why didn't they stage all the games at club stadiums in London? And I have to say there's a... Yeah, it can be argued both ways. It's good that we're taking it out to the country. But, you know, Olympic fever is in and around London. And, you know, there is an argument that it should have been played at Brentford or Orient or Arsenal.
Brazil, the silver medalists from Beijing 2008 are in the group, along with New Zealand and Cameroon. Before we discuss their medal hopes, we assume Team GB can come through this?
I think there's certainly an expectation. I mean, be unlikely that they will get near gold. That would be a shock. But you know, there are two teams from each group plus two third place sides going through. So yeah, something will have had to have gone pretty horribly wrong for them not to be in the quarterfinals. And I think they'll have hopes of getting to the semis and reasonable hopes of getting to the semis.
For that 3-week fan, you know, the type of fan who will only follow a sport devoutly for the duration of a tournament like the Olympics, what nations are you expecting will be pushing for gold here? Obviously, we say Team GB are an outside bet for a semi-final. We've mentioned Brazil, silver medalist last time. Who else can we look out for?
Well, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I think all the leading nations are here apart from Germany. I think they didn't qualify. Sat down with Kelly Smith, and she said that Sweden, Japan were among those that they would be worried about.
And finally, I'm afraid I'm going to have to either praise or embarrass everyone on a daily basis by getting their predictions for the day's play. So can you tell me, I'm not going to test your North Korea Colombia, but what do you think the score will be between Team GB and New Zealand?
I am going to stick my neck out and go for a big 2-0 home win. If only because if I'm going to drive all the way down to Cardiff, then I want to come back with a big smile on my face. And I want the Olympics to get off to a flying start, because I think it's got the potential to be just a splendid 17 odd days of sport. And I hope it gets off to a flyer.
I'm joined now by photographers Olivia Mann and Alison Palmer. They photographed together under the names Olivia and Alison. Was that hours in front of the whiteboard working?
Hours out? And hours.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been involved in a fascinating project recently where they have been capturing squad members from Team GB and capturing not just in their sports kits, but in their everyday life and a few beyond everyday life poses as well along the way. I guess the obvious first question is, how did this job come about?
Well, it was a personal project, really, and totally inspired from Alison's background. Alison's always been a massive football fan and played avidly when she was at primary school. But when she started playing, there wasn't a girls' team at all, and she actually had to strike up a bit of a battle with the headmistress to actually enable her to play and other girls in her school to play. So she's always been a real champion of the sport, which is really inspiring.
Yeah, it just started with that, really. Just mad about football. And we kind of felt that there was a lack of exposure for the women's game in this country. And Liv and I were quite interested in how we could capture these athletes in a way that showed something about their character and also, you know, showcase the sport, really. And that was quite an interesting kind of artistic challenge, I think, for us. So that's what inspired us, yeah.
I've seen the photographs and there's some real striking poses, but the backgrounds are also quite significant. I mean, they're going to appear on screen if you're watching now on the iPad app. But tell me about some of these photographs, why you took them in the locations that you took them.
So the key thing for us really was to take each of the girls back to their origins, really back to their hometown, back to the sporting ground where they first learned to play, and to fill the portraits that we did with mementos and bits of story and symbols and things which really indicate to people who might not necessarily know these players that well what made them the women that they are today and the sports people that they are today and how they actually got to be in Team GB itself, which is an enormous triumph.
So explain the dance floor.
Yeah. So the Lincoln ladies, there's a shot of four of the Lincoln ladies, and well, there are a number of shots in that setting. But when we met the girls, Jess Clark, for example, and Sophie Bradley.
Casey Stoney,
exactly. They're all such fun. I mean, incredibly down to earth, and you know, obviously they're fantastic sportswomen, but they're more than just that. You know, they are the girls who like to go out and have a great time. They're into their fashion and their music, and so we really wanted to capture that element of them as well.
It was their nightclub that the Lincoln girls went to every Christmas party.
Right.
So it was that nightclub, and we thought that would be really good fun.
And they're not barred from a nightclub, so they're already better role models than many of their male counterparts already. unless there was meant to be five in that shot, but one person wasn't allowed in. Do you think that London 2012 is a real opportunity for women's football then?
It's massive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a completely historic moment for all of them, for Hope Powell and all of those players. It's as if, you know, there are a lot of players who've come up through the ranks, like Sue Smith, Faye White. All of those players have played a part to get Team GB to where it is today. It's you know, the fact that they're opening the whole of the Olympics Games is a huge opportunity for it, and let's hope they really, really grab it and can do something really big with it.
And where can people see more examples of your work?
So you can see more of the images on our website, which is oliviaandalison.com, but also they're being showcased as part of a bigger exhibition called Moving the Goalposts, which is at Lanchester Gallery in Coventry for 2 weeks.
During the Olympics,
during the Olympic period, yeah.
As promised, here are some more of your My Olympics tweets. Ray Morgan's been in touch, who may have missed the point, saying, I think I deserve a medal, just brave French connection in the sales, and tried on a dress, and purchased it all within 15 minutes. Who knows, it could be a test event come at 2016. And Aaron, who is Magnus Opus 33, commented on Simon Barnes' column earlier on in the week regarding some of the whinging and moaning that we've heard in the last week or so. Simon will be on the programme later on in the week. You can keep in touch using the hashtag MyOlympics via Twitter. If you listen to this on the Times iPad app, you can also get the program as an MP3 via iTunes, and if you listen via iTunes you can get the show on our iPad app, where it comes with some amazing accompanying images relevant to all the topics we cover. If you aren't yet a Times subscriber, go to timespacks.co.uk, where there are various excellent packs on offer to suit your reading habits. Our next show will be with you tomorrow morning. Enjoy today's Olympic action. Bye bye.
approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.